Sukkah Daf Dalid. Just to quickly review what we did last time. Most of you probably already took the Bechina on Daf Beis and Daf Gimel, but it's still good to Chazer. So just to quickly review what we did last time on Daf Gimel, Amar Aleph, just go over the main points again. We pointed out that the Maskana, we assumed that Hilani Amalka was sitting in the kitonios in the sukkah, in these little areas, these little cubicles off of the sukkah, and there's a machlokas whether her kids were with her or her kids were in the sukkah gedola. Her kids were in the larger area in the middle of the sukkah. If you recall from the Bechina, that was one of the questions. We had three shitos in terms of what the minimum size of a sukkah in terms of length and width are. Who recalls? Where were the three shitos? That was also one of the questions on the Bechina. Three shitos, minimum size of a sukkah? Yoshi? Rebbe's 4x4 what? Amos, good. What else we got? Yoshi? Beis Shammai, 7x7 Tzvachim.
And Beis Hillel,
6x6 Tzvachim. Good. Then we pointed out that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel also argue whether if you have yourself in the sukkah and your table in the house, even if it happens to be a large sukkah, whether that's kosher or not. Beis Shammai says, no good. Why is it no good if your sukkah's in the house? Good. Shema Yimashich Achar Shulchano. That we're afraid you're going to you're going to end up where your table is. Then on Daf Gimel and Beis, we saw all the halachos of a bias. That in order to define something halachically as a bias, what does it need to be? Four by four amos. In order to define something as a bias, and we had lots of different halachos that relate to bias. We had halachos of of eruv, of shituf mavuos, of maaka, bateri choma. Going back from Erech HaMelchama, all these different cases of bias. Sukkah does not need to be 4x4 Amos. Why? If sukkah, everything else that's a bias has to be 4x4? Good. A sukkah is only a rai, and therefore it doesn't fit the bill. It doesn't match up. It doesn't have to be like a bias, which is 4x4 Amos. Then we gave a list that we explained that on the list of things that need to be 4x4 Amos, on that list of halachos, the reason for all of those halachos d'oraisa, the reason that the d'oraisa ones need to be 4x4 Amos is why? Is because the Torah uses the term bias by them. Yet when it comes to the Dinim D'Rabbanan, it's based on not any term in the Pasuk, because obviously Dinim D'Rabbanan aren't based on any terminology in the Pesukim. Rather, it's simply based on being Ro'i L'Dira, and the fact that it's livable. Point number three we said on Daf Gimel Amud Beis was the house that's less than four less than four amos is different than a Borgoni because it doesn't serve its intended function. A Borgoni serves its intended function, and therefore it's chashuv even if it's less than 4x4 amos. And then the last thing we said, that a house that's less than four amos does not entitle a person to space in the chatzar. When you have multiple houses in the chatzar and they want to split up the chatzar, that between the different parties, if the house is less than four amos, does not entitle a person to space in that chatzar. That is the review of Daf Gimel in brief. Now we move on. We are holding at two lines from the bottom from Daf Gimel and Beis at the two dots. We're going to discuss now what the Mishnah said, that there's a minimum and maximum height of a sukkah. What's the maximum height of the sukkah according to the Mishnah, at least according to one sheet of the Mishnah, Tanakam in the Mishnah? 20 amos. So we're going to discuss that halacha, and the minimum height of course again was 10 tfachim. Good. So says the Gemara, so what do you do if you actually have walls that are more than 20 amos? So there you have to make them smaller. How do you make them smaller? How do you make the schach less than 20 amos from the floor? So the way I see it, you got two options. Either you can put the schach lower, or you can make the floor higher. And if you make the floor higher, then between the floor and the schach is going to be less than there was before, right? So the Gemara discusses that second possibility. You want to make the floor higher so that you minimize the space between the floor and the schach. How do you do that? So says the Gemara, Haisa Gava Me'asimam, if it was taller than 20 amos, Balamata, and you wanted to make the floor, the ceiling, you wanted to make the ceiling lower by making the floor higher. So what did you put in there? Bikarum uksasos, and you put in sheets, pillows, mattresses, these types of things, bedding, and you lined the floor with it until it was higher up. So let's say you have a sukkah that's 20 and a half amos off the ground. So you take a big, thick mattress, you put it on the floor of the sukkah. Now, all of a sudden, when you stand on the mattress, it's less than 20 amos from the schach. So is that considered a small sukkah, or is that considered to be a sukkah that happens to have a mattress in it, but the sukkah is still more than 20 amos high? Meaning, when do you consider that the sukkah to have a new floor, and when do you say, no, that's not a new floor, it's a sukkah with stuff in it? Like, if I put a table in my sukkah, that doesn't mean that the sukkah is the height from the top of my table to the schach. No, the sukkah is from the floor to the schach, it just happens to have a table in it. So is it okay when you put karm ksusas in it, are mattresses the new floor, or a mattress is just something that happens to be in a sukkah that's really too tall? So says the Gemara, lo have a miut. What do you think it means? That does not help. It does not help to minimize the sukkah. The afal gav de batlin lekulu, even though you're mevatel it for all 7 days of sukkahs, meaning you put the mattresses in there saying, I promise I'm not going to remove these mattresses for the next 7 days. They are staying there, they're staying put, and therefore I want it to be part of the floor. It still doesn't work. Why doesn't that work? Once you say that you're going to leave it there the whole time and that you're totally mevatel it and you're treating it like the floor, why shouldn't it work? Answers the Gemara, very important concept. Mishum debatla da'ato etzel kaladam. You can circle that, batla da'ato etzel kaladam. Because even though this guy may have in his mind that he wants to be mevatel the mattress there, most normal people would not take valuable things like a mattress and just completely be mevatel it and leave it there in a sukkah and say, yeah, forget about it, I never want to take it back. And since a normal person would not be mevatel mattresses and sheets and pillows and things like that in the sukkah, even if this guy tries to do it, it doesn't work. He does not have the capacity to do it. But l'daito etzel kol adam. Basically, you cannot change reality just because you are a meshugana. But teven ubitlo, if you put teven, what's teven? Straw, right? Something that's very cheap and is often thrown on the floor as a way of, let's say, if the floor was muddy, so they would often throw straw on the floor so that they wouldn't get mud all over themselves and they wouldn't sink in the mud. So it's very often that people would throw straw on the floor and leave it there. So if they put straw on the floor, let's say they put 6 inches of straw on the floor, ubitlo and were mevatel it there, have a miut. That's for sure going to be considered a good miut. That's a very effective way of raising the ground level. And certainly if it wasn't even straw, if they put dirt on the floor, that's what the floor is made of. So you just add more dirt to the sukkah floor, that certainly becomes the new floor. It is mevatel, it is batel to the floor, and therefore your sukkah actually becomes smaller, becomes shorter by raising the floor in that way. So those are the easy halachos. Now what about the following case? The concept of bitel means what? That you put it there and then you did what? What does bitel mean? Good. Not just had in mind, but mevatel means you actually explicitly, right? If you look at Rashi on the second line, tevenu bitlo, two-word Rashi. What does Rashi say? You mevatel it bipiv l'shiva. You mevatel it verbally, orally. You said, I hereby am ignoring this straw, this whatever it is that I'm putting down, I am being mevatel it. So that is a very, very strong way of saying that you're not interested in something, by actually making a verbal declaration about it. Where else do we have such a concept that it's not good enough to just have it say, you know, think in your mind, but we actually make a verbal declaration about something? Chametz, right? Well, our customs, we are mevatel it bepeh, yeah? Is it an issue of Dvarim Shablev if you're not mevatel bepeh? Yeah, it could be, so we'll discuss. That's what our Gemara is going to discuss. So what if you have the following situation? Tevin, you put straw on the floor, you are mevatel it, but ve'en asa lefnoso. En asa lefnoso means you have no plans of taking it out. You just never verbally said, I hereby am mevatel it, but you certainly mean to keep it there for all 7 days. So is that also going to be considered batel to the floor? And if it's batel to the floor, what does that mean for us in English? If we say it's batel to the floor in terms of the halach over here, what does that mean for us? It means that, what about our sukkah over here? You had the sukkah that's 20 amos plus a couple of inches. You threw a couple of inches of tevin on the floor. If it is batel, is that good or bad? Batel is good, right? Not batel is bad. If it's batel, it's good, because that means you've successfully raised the level of the floor. Batel to the floor means it becomes part of the new floor. So you've successfully raised the level of the floor, and now your sukkah is less than 20 amos. If it's not batel, it's bad. So 1 second. So he said, Tevin ve'enos lefenoso. If you were not mevatel it, you just have no plans on taking it back. Or afar stam, or you put dirt down with no plans in your mind whatsoever. You didn't even think about the dirt, you just put it down there. So what's the halacha? Machlokas Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbanan. It's a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah. Bayis shemel eyu teven otzroros, if you have a house that you filled with straw or with rocks, ubitlo, and you were mevatalit, mevutal. It works, it's a good bitl. Bitlo in lo batli lo. But what does that tell you? You have to actually verbally say, I don't want this anymore, I'm leaving it here forever. But if you don't verbally make that declaration, it's not batel. The Tanya law, and it was taught on that, that Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, no. Tevin ve'in osa lefanoso hareu ka'afir stam ubatel. If you put straw on the floor and you never plan on removing that straw, that's like the same thing as putting dirt on the floor without having any plans whatsoever. In both of those cases, it's good enough. Afar va'asa lefanoso, but then there's another level. What if you put dirt on the floor and you plan on taking that dirt away in a couple of hours? So for the next few hours, while the dirt is there, may you use that sukkah? Is it considered to be a new floor that's now less than 20 amos from the schach? What do you think? I plan on removing that offer soon. So the halacha is, harev kestam teven vlo batel. That's like stam teven, and it's not batel. Can you hear that car alarm? It's my car alarm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Brought my car to the shop, brought it back. The alarm goes off at random times now. Okay, so I always get. Neighbors love me already. 2 a.m. last night, it wasn't so funny. Okay. You just like open the door, it's right across the street. yes. Outstanding. So, anyway. Bottom line, when all the dust settles, no pun intended, from this Gemara, what we have is, it was really no pun intended, what we have is 4 levels of trying to be mevatel the floor of the sukkah. He's about to get locked up. Four levels of trying of strength of bittel. The strongest level is when you're mevatel something. You actually, and bittel means verbal declaration, I'm hereby mevatel. The next level down is you're not mevatel it, but you know in your mind, ain asa lefenoso. You have no plan of taking it out. Meaning when you put it down there, you planned on leaving it there for the entire yantif. The third level down, thank you so much, maybe hang on to it as it keeps going off. The third level down is, just don't go home with that. The third level down is stam. You put it there stam. You didn't put it there with any plans whatsoever. You might end up leaving it there, but you just put it there stam. And the fourth level is where it's asad lefenoso. You put it down there, and you do plan on removing it. The only category where there's no room for any sort of discussion is that last category. If it's something that's asad lefenoso, that you plan on removing, what's the halacha always going to be no matter what you put down there? That it's not a good bittel, and therefore your sukkah is still going to remain pasul. Right? It does not raise the floor of your sukkah. In all of the other categories, there's what to talk about. So I drew myself in my Gemara a nice little chart. I would recommend it, because it's a good way of clarifying exactly what goes on in the Gemara. The way I drew the chart was 4 columns, well, you know, plus the column with the categories, but... No, 4 columns. 1 column is bittel, next is enas to the finoso, then stam, and then asa lefenoso. And then the 3 possible materials you might put on the floor of the sukkah. What were the 3 possible materials the Gemara spoke about putting on the floor? So let's go in order. First was karim uksasos, sheets, pillows, mattresses, that kind of thing. Next was tevin, which is straw. And next is afar, dirt, exactly. So those are the 3 possibilities. Now let's go across one by one. If you put karim uksasos down on the floor, regardless of whether you're mevatel, or whether it's ein asa lefenoso, or whether it's stam, or whether it's asa lefenoso, the halacha is always going to be... The halacha is always going to be... No, but he's going to fail the Bikiyas quiz because he spends half the time outside. The halacha is going to be what? If you put Karim Muksasos down, it's always not good, no matter what. Even if you were actually verbally mivatel, it's still no good. On the next level down, we have Teven. What's the halacha of Teven? Now you know when I tell stories in Shir, I don't make it up. The halacha by Teven. What's the halacha by Teven? So if you were mivatel the Teven, then what's the halacha? Does it work? Yes, that definitely does work. If it's just Einos of the Fenosa, what's the halacha? Machlokes. That's the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. If it's either Stam or Asad Lefanoso by the Teven, then what's the halacha?
No good.
Exactly. Either Stam or Asad Lefanoso, it's not going to work by the Teven. And then the third category, the third possible item, Afar. So if you're Mevatali Afar, what's the halacha? Good. If you, it's Ein Asad Lefanoso, what's the halacha? By dirt. Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. If it's Stam, what's the halacha by dirt? Machlokes also, right? That's also a case of machlokes. Although one of those cases is not explicit in the Gemara, that's the way the Rishonim understand it. And if it's Asad Lefanoso, you do plan on removing that dirt in a couple of hours or a day or whatever. What's the halacha? No good. Exactly. Sukkah remains puzzled. What's going on there? What? There's Teven, Karim Uksasos is number one, then Teven, then Afar. Right? So those are the three categories. So again, you make a chart, it makes it much easier to navigate your way through this Gemara. If you want to put it into words as a main point, like we like to do, so the words I would put it in, sorry about that, the words I would put it in are as follows. That there's no bittul for Karim Uksasos ever. There is bittul for Teven v'Afar, but Stam Afar and Teven she'inas l'fenoso is a machlokas. Stam Afar and Teven. What? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair. That makes sense. We should be on a rotation. I got next. Okay. Stam. It depends. Sometimes it will stay off for like 10 hours, and then it doesn't like you. So maybe we need a change of luck. So, okay, yeah, everyone likes Bienenfeld. So it's like okay. So if he wants to do it, okay, excellent. So Stam Afar and Teven Ve'Einas of the Fenoso are both subject to Machlokes. Good. That is the summary in words. Now the Gemara gets a little bit less confusing. New case. Haisa Gavoa. That's what we're up to, right? Haisa Gavoa. Me'asr Ma'ama. Let's say your sukkah was taller than 20 amos. V'hutin yodin b'toch chaf ama. But you had pieces of schach that were dangling down under the 20 amma mark. So the schach at its highest point was certainly above 20 amos, but you had pieces of schach that were dangling down within 20 amos. So is that considered that your schach is now less than 20 amos? So the Gemara says it depends. If amongst the dangling pieces you would have enough to provide more shade than sunlight from those pieces alone, meaning that there's so many dangling pieces that it actually covers the majority of the sukkah, then kshera, then it's kosher. The imlav, but if it's just a couple of straggles of schach that come down, but for the most part it's not really too much. For the most part, most of the schach is above 20 amos, and you wouldn't get enough shade from the dangling pieces. Then psula. Then it's going to be puzzle. It's not going to be good. Good. Are we clear on that? Haisa gavoa yud tfachim. Let's say you have the opposite. You have a sukkah that's tiny. You have a sukkah that's exactly 10 tfachim tall. V'hutz in yardin l'toch yud. And there are pieces that dangle down under 10 tfachim. So what would you say? What do you think the Gemara is about to say? So one would think that what? Same thing. If it's more sun than shade in those dangling pieces, you would expect the Gemara to tell you, you would think the Gemara is going to say that if it's more shade than sun from those pieces, pasul, because it's considered as if you have schach less than 10 tefachim. More sun than shade, kosher. Says the Gemara, savar Abaye lemeimer. Abaye thought to say that lashon of savar lemeimer is always ahava amina. Almost always. There are a couple places in Shas where it's not, and the Rishonim say, don't think the Gemara is going to change its mind over here, but usually Savar Lemeimar means it was a Havamina, and then we're going to change our mind. Savar Abaye Lemeimar, so Abaye thought to say, Im Chamasam Ruba Mitzilasam Kshera, if it's more sun than shade from those pieces that are within 10 Tefachim, it's Kasher. So Amalei Rava, Rava says, no, by the 10 Tefach Sukkah, even if it's just a few pieces that are dangling down, it's no good. You know why? Ha Dira Sruchihi. This is a pungent or foul or awful living space, meaning it's not a proper living space. The point is, 10 tefachim is what the minimum needed to be able to live normally. So if there's any pieces less than 10 tefachim that stick down, it inhibits the way you live. When you're dealing with a 20 amos sukkah, it's not inhibiting the way you live, no matter how many pieces are dangling down, because it's all the way up there in the sky. It's nowhere near you. So we could talk technical dinim of schach and how high, how much, tzidasim ruba, chamasim ruba. But when you're dealing with 10 tefachim, when it dangles within 10 tefachim, it just ruins your life. So I would circle the words dira srucha, very critical concept. Dira srucha comes up in this masech. The dira srucha, the ein adam dar bedira srucha, and a person can't be expected to live in a dira srucha. A person can't live in a dwelling place that is so uncomfortable. So that is the halacha. Now, main point number two. If the schach is higher than 20 amos and some pieces are lower, as long as what's the halacha? If the pieces that are lower are more shade than sun, it's good. If the sukkah is 10 tefachim and some pieces are lower, machlokas Abaye and Rava. Abaye says, or Abaye thinks to say at least, that as long as it's more sun than shade from those pieces, it's still kosher. Rava says, no, it's never kosher. Why is it never kosher? When there are pieces dipping within 10 tefachim, why is it never kosher? Anybody? It wasn't only about you. Anybody, really. Dira srucha. It's not kosher because it's a dira srucha. It's a unlivable sukkah. Yeah, say that again. Okay, if the sukkah is 20 amos high and there are pieces dipping within 20 amos, so if those pieces are enough to create more shade than sunlight on their own, the sukkah is going to be kosher. If the sukkah is 10 tefachim high and some pieces dip below 10 tefachim, so Abaye thought, as long as those pieces are not enough to create more shade than sun on their own, the sukkah will be kosher. But Rava said, no, no matter what, the sukkah is going to be possible. I don't care how few those pieces are, because dira srucha. It's considered to be an unlivable space, and a sukkah needs to be a livable space. Good, that is the machlokas Abaye and Rava. Good, says the Gemara further now. Haisa gavah me'asher mama. So now here's another situation. Sukkah is more than 20 amos high. Ubana ba itzdva keneged dofen ha'imtza'i al pnei kula. And you build a platform across, along the middle wall, going from one side to the other side of the sukkah. You'll notice a very nice picture in your Gemara. The top picture is the platform that's built. For our purposes, we're always going to assume a sukkah has three walls. Now, we would think, you know, most of our sukkahs have four walls because it's very cold in New York. You go to Miami or you go to Boca and you spend sukkahs there, almost nobody has a sukkah that's really that's not wide open, because unless they have the air conditioning in the sukkah. If they have air conditioning in the sukkah, then they try to insulate it a little bit. But otherwise, the sukkah is like as wide open as it could possibly be. Try to get insulation. The Gemara always assumes a sukkah is a sukkah that has three walls. We discussed, for those who recall from Daf, Chavav, we discussed the case of the sukkah on top of the roof. If the chasen and kala are there, it could be embarrassing because it's wide open on the fourth side. That's the assumption. It's always wide open on the fourth side. So says the Gemara, let's say you have this sukkah that's more than 20 amos high. So you build a platform. Why are you building that platform? To make it a higher ground. So you build that platform across the entire sukkah. See the top picture. Now that platform is big enough that it's 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. The platform itself is 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. So, and why is that significant, 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim? The platform itself is big enough to be a sukkah, right? Then it's kosher. Uminatsad, now if you build the platform on the side, see picture number 2. Im yesh misvas itzva lakosel, dal ramos psula. If from the edge of that platform to the opposite wall from where the platform is, again, the opposite wall from where the platform is, if you have dal ramos, that's going to be possible. Someone should just smash that car. If it's going to be dalet amos, then it's going to be possible. More than dalet amos is going to be possible. 1 second. Pachos me'arba amos k'sheira. But if it's less than 4 amos from the edge of that platform to the opposite wall, then it's going to be kosher. What mechanism, what halachic mechanism is in use to make it kosher when it's less than 4 amos from one side to the other? Anyone know this concept? It's a concept called dofen akuma. That when it's less than 4 amos away from the area where the kosher schach starts, we allow a wall that's really far away to be considered as if it's bent over and leaning right up to the kosher part of the sukkah. Thank you very much. We'll pass it on to the next guy. So that's called dofen akuma. Now, just one very important point. When we say it's kosher to sit where? Look at the top picture. Where are you sitting? On the platform, that for sure is kosher. But what's the chiddush that's kosher? Of course that's kosher. What it seems to be is that the chiddush is that not only is that part kosher, but if you look at Rashi when he says kosher, kshera, in the 5th medium-sized line, kshera, kol asukah. The entire sukkah is going to be kosher. Even beyond the platform, Rashi says. Once you have the platform area, which by definition is kosher, then even the rest of the sukkah that's beyond the platform is also going to be kosher. That's the tremendous chiddush. Question, yeah? What? To raise the ground. You're raising the ground. Ike?
Yeah, why is it puzzle and to the side again?
If it's...
The wall to the side.
If you look at that itztva in the bottom case, in the bottom picture, you look at that case, in the bottom picture, you only have 2 walls on your kosher part of your sukkah. The kosher part of the sukkah is on top of the itztva. That only has 2 walls on it. You need that 3rd wall to connect. The only way that 3rd wall is going to connect is if it's less than 4 amos away, and you then use the mechanism called dofen akuma. Effie? Right. We're going to get to that in a second. We'll get to that soon. Yeah, but exactly. Shimon? Alpanei kula means from end to end. From one wall to the other wall, along the middle wall. Hechsher sukkah means at least 7x7 tefachim. That the itzvah itself is 7x7 tefachim. Yeah, so like the depth into the sukkah of the itzvah is also 7 tefachim. Obviously, if it's going wall to wall, that part, the length is going to be 7 tefachim, but the width... that's what I would have thought, but Rashi tells me no. Kshera means it's no chiddush that the itzvah is kosher. It's a platform. It's a new floor. Of course, that's kosher. You have 3 walls. You're less than 20 amos from the schach. What should be the problem? The chiddush is kshera even beyond the itzvah. So, frankly, Gemara, my kamashul. What's the big chiddush over here? Damrin and dofen akuma. What did you teach me with this last halacha? The concept of dofen akuma. Circle that very important concept. We're going to have it throughout the masechta, especially this perek. Dofen akuma. That we apply this concept of the bent wall. That when the wall is within 4 amos of where the kosher schach is, we view the wall as if it's bent over toward the kosher schach. This is very halacha lemaisa also in many of our sukkahs. A lot of our sukkahs we build right off of the house, right? There's a sliding door outside of the kitchen in a lot of homes, and you go right out into the sukkah on a patio or something, right? So a lot of times the house has a little bit of a overhang, right over the sukkah. So can you count the wall of the house where the sliding door is as one of the walls of the sukkah? So what's the halacha? The halacha is going to be if that overhang is less than 4 amos, it almost always is less than 4 amos, from the wall of the house till the overhang finishes, where you have uninhibited schach, right? Schach that's not blocked from by the overhang. If it's less than 4 amos, it's going to be kosher. Why? Because we view that wall as if it's bent over to that area. If it's more than 4 amos, that wall is not a kosher wall of a sukkah. You better hope you have another 3. Yeah.
Does it make a difference how much higher up the overhang is than the schach?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Even if it's very high up, when you have trees that sometimes are super high, still it's a problem. Okay, so says Gemara, what's the big chiddush over here that we say the concept of Dofen Akuma? Guess what, Tanina, we already know that concept. How do we know it? Bayis Shenifchas. Let's say you're in your house one day and the roof caves in. The middle of the roof caves in, so you figure you're going to make lemonade out of a lemon, right? Life hands you a lemon, and you're like, I could call the insurance company and try to get the roof rebuilt, or I could have the coolest sukkah in town. So you're going to put tzchach over that area. So im yesh menakos al sikuch dalet amos psula. If there's more than four amos from the wall of the room where the roof caved in to where the hole in the ceiling is, to where the tzchach starts, then it's going to be pasul. Hapachos mikan, but if there's less than four amos, ksheira, then it's going to be kosher. Why? What's the svara? Dofen akuma. If it's less than four amos from the wall of that room to where the schach starts, you could say dofen akuma on that wall. So that's going to be kosher. So we already know this din of dofen akuma. There are people that have sukkahs like this, where they have like a retractable roof on one of the rooms in their house. Rabbi Tendler and Muncie has such a sukkah he built for Moshe Feinstein, that they take off the roof from one of the rooms in the house, and they just put schach down on it. As long as there's not four amos between the wall and the schach, you're totally good. So what's the big chiddush you're telling me? By you have to draw me a whole picture number two? I don't need the picture number two. I already know Dofen Akuma. Answers the Gemara, Mahu Detema. What does Mahu Detema always mean? I would have thought Hasamu Dechazi L'Dofen Aval Hachad L'Chazi L'Dofen Eimolo. That I might have thought over there, by the case of the wall, the ceiling caving in my house, my walls as walls are perfectly good. There's nothing wrong with them as walls, other than the fact that they're a little bit away from the schach. So all Dofen Akuma is doing is moving them over. But in the case of the sukkah, it's more than 20 amos. What's the problem with the wall? It's more than 20 amos. As a wall, it's problematic because it's more than 20 amos high. So I might think Dofen Akuma is not going to save it. Kamashmalan, therefore, comes to tell me that even though that wall is more than 20 amos, Dofen Akuma is going to save it. As long as Dofen Akuma brings it up to that itztva, Dofen Akuma imaginarily brings it up to, if that's not a word it should be, brings it up to that itztva, to that platform, so it's considered that's fine. That works fine, and it's considered as if the sukkah is less than 20 amos high. Good? Clear? Yeah, clear? Question? You understand which part? The Dofen Akuma tells me, here, okay, you have this wall, right? Let's say this part, the lower part of the ceiling, just caved in. And I decided to make it tzchach. Assume that there's not really a classroom or anything on top, right? And I just put tzchach over there. But in between where the tzchach starts over there and where this wall is, I have all this space from here to here. So can this wall count as part of that sukkah? So the halacha is, if there's less than four amos over here, the wall can count. We view this wall as if it's pushed over right till here. Now I'm even allowed to sit in this part. I'm even allowed to sit in this part because the it's considered as if the wall is like, you know, tilting me too, right? The wall, it's as if it's the wall is pushed over to that spot. Is that a little clearer? Less clear for the people on the tape, I guess, but we'll pretend they exist. Yeah.
If it was like a hole in the ceiling and there is like a perimeter ceiling around it, maybe it's not in the middle. When you're sitting in the corner, you have a ceiling above you, but it's not like in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Does that count also?
Yeah, that's. It seems that it does. It seems that it does.
I can sit under wall.
Right. That's what I think so. I think so. I think it might become clear in the Gemara soon. I don't remember, but I think so. Yeah, I think so. I could be wrong, but I think so. Yeah. So says the Gemara further. Good, you see where we are about 8 lines before the end of the page. Let's say your sukkah was more than 20 amos high and you build a platform but not on the end of the sukkah up against one of the walls or two of the walls or three of the walls like in the pictures. Rather, you build it as an island right in the middle, like the bima in the middle of the room. You build an itztva right there in the middle. Im yesh misfas sanu, what's the halacha going to be? What do you think? You build the platform right in the middle of the sukkah, not touching any of the walls. What's the halacha going to be? As long as it's within four amos of at least three of the walls, then you're good, because you could say Dofen Akuma on at least three sides, and you have three kosher walls then. So as long as it's within 4 amos, it should be kosher. So says the Gemara, again, so you built your platform in the middle. Im yesh misfas itzvolodofen arba amos lekol ruach ruach psula. If in every direction it's more than 4 amos away from the wall, well then you got a problem, it's puzzle. But pachos me'arba amos, but if it's less than 4 amos from the walls running around the perimeter, ksheira, then it's going to be kosher. Ask the Gemara obvious question. Maika mashmalan. What do you keep telling us the same halacha? How many different ways can you come up with to say dofen akuma? Maika mashmalan, what are you telling me with this halacha? Damrina dofen akuma? That there is such a concept called dofen akuma? Okay, granted, it's not a concept we're so used to, and it takes a little while to wrap your mind around it. But how many times do you have to say it? Hainuach, it's the same halacha you just said a million times. What's different about this case? So says Gemara, Ma'u detema dofen akuma miruach achas amrinan. I might think you can use this halachic sleight of hand when all you need to do is play make-believe on one of the walls. Play pretend one of the walls is a bent wall. But to do that for all your walls? You have no real kosher walls? All of them you have to play pretend on and make-believe that they are where they aren't? I might think that's no good. I will call ruach, ruach, whoa. I would think in every direction that's no good. Kamash v'lan, therefore comes to tell me that it's fine. Period. Main point number three, we apply Dofen Akuma even. Two chidushim about Dofen Akuma we had. What are the two chidushim? We apply Dofen Akuma even when? Good. Even when the walls themselves are more than 20 amos high. And even if we're applying Dofen Akuma in all directions, on all the walls. Those are the two big chidushim of Dofen Akuma in our Gemara. First, the halacha of Dofen Akuma, that there exists such a thing, fine. But then two chidushim on top of that halacha, that we apply it even when the walls themselves begin as more than 20 amos high, and also we'll apply it around the perimeter on all the different sides. Yeah?
So you said that if there's Dofen Akuma, then you can even set up the regular ceiling?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure. I think so. I think you can. I mean, Rashi must say it.
Because technically, if a sukkah is missing a schach, if you can't sit under, then you should be able to then, because you can say dofen akuma to the schach.
Oh, you only say dofen akuma when it's schach pasul in place. When there's airspace, when there's nothing there, you don't say dofen akuma. So that's important. Okay. There's a lot of lumdus about dofen akuma. How exactly do you view it? Do you view it as that's a continuation of the wall, or do you view it as if it's just an extension of schach kosher in that area, and that would probably make a difference whether you can sit under it? Okay, says the Gemara Vayta. We got to get moving over here a little bit. Three lines from the bottom of the page. Let's say your sukkah is less than 10 tefachim tall. So how are you going to make it kosher? So again, just like the two tall sukkah had two options of making it kosher, you have the two short sukkah also two options. You can either lift it up, lift up the schach and put it on poles or something, make it higher than 10 tefachim. Or you could dig in the ground so that the ground level gets lower, right? So you dig in order to complete the minimum 10 tefachim height. So im yesh misfas chakak ula kosel gimel tefachim, if the edge of the pit that you dug is within 3 tefachim of the walls, psula. And more than 3 tefachim, I'm sorry, away from the walls, psula. Whoa, the numbers changed all of a sudden. When it came to the too high sukkah, we said it's got to be within 4 amos. 4 amos is huge. Now we're saying that for the sukkah that you had to dig to make it high enough, the edge of the area that you dug has to be within what? 3 tefachim of the walls. So if it's within three, if it's not within 3 tefachim of the walls, psula. Pachos b'shosha tefachim. But if it's less than 3 tefachim away from the walls, ksheira. So ask the Gemara, why is it different? Meishna hasam damrit pachos mi'arba amos. U'meishna hacha damrit pachos b'shosha tefachim. Why, by the sukkah that was more than 20 amos high, we said that the walls only need to be within 4 amos of what? Of the platform. Yet by the sukkah that you're digging, it needs to, the edge of the place that you dug needs to be within how much? 3 tefachim. Why should I have a different halacha? So answers the Gemara, Hasam di isei ledofen, pachos me arba amos sagya. By the sukkah that's more than 20 amos high, the walls are halachically considered walls. They are defined as walls, meaning a wall in halacha means something that's at least 10 tefachim high. it could be 50 amos high. It's a wall. It's not a good wall for a sukkah if it's 50 amos high, but it's a wall at least. When it's less than 10 tefachim high, it's not even considered a wall. It's considered a stump on the ground that you step right over. 10 tefachim high is the minimum size of a mechitza. Nafkamina, let's say, for an Eruv. You want to build an Eruv around the city, so you have to either build walls or a Tzuras HaPesach. It's got to be at least 10 tefachim high. It could be much higher, but it's got to be at least 10 tefachim high. So over there, where by the case of the 20 amah high walls, the Isei Ladofen, where at least you had a wall, Pachas Me'arba Amos Sadya. So if it's less than 4 amos, that's fine. If it's less than 4 amos away from the platform, that's fine. Hacha, but over here, l'shvuyei l'dofen. You need to make it into a wall. How do you make it into a wall? It's only 8 tefachim high. How do you make it into a wall? By combining the area that you dug underneath, the wall of the pit that you dug, the 2 tefachim of the pit that you dug together with the wall on the side. How can they combine? Only if they're within 3 tefachim of each other. What's that concept in halacha, 3 tefachim? That it's considered connected? Lavud, exactly. Pachos mishlosh tefachim in lo. So if it's less than 3 tefachim away, that's fine. If it's not less than 3 tefachim, you got a problem. Period. Now, main point number 4 on Amud Aleph. When digging a hole to complete the minimum 10 tefachim size, the hole must be within what? Don't be shy. The hole must be within 3 tefachim of the walls of the sukkah. Not 4 amos. Why not 4 amos? Why isn't 4 amos up until 4 amos good enough? Because you don't even have a wall yet to begin with. When you have a wall, it's just a matter of moving the wall over, dofenakuma. So then you have up until 4 amos. But if you don't even have a wall, you're trying to create a wall, it needs to be within 3 tefachim to be considered one and the same. But lavud, lamed beis vav dalud, lavud. We're going to have that concept a lot. Good. Next halacha. Six lines down on Dalaram Beis. Ha'isa gavoa me'asrim amah. Okay, again, your sukkah is more than 20 amos high. U'bana ba'amud shu gavoa asar tefachim. And you built, again, a platform that's 10 tefachim high in the sukkah. Now, this is the first time we're actually talking about how high the platform is. Because now we're not going to be focused on using the walls of the sukkah, the walls that are off to the side. We're going to focus on using the walls of the platform itself as the walls of the sukkah. Meaning the platform itself, when you build something, let's say here's a platform, and here's the top of it. So I may be sitting over here, like so, right? If I were a little square recorder, right? I'd be sitting like that. The walls of this, or lying, the walls of it are here. They stop below where I am, right? Those are the walls. The schach is way up there. So do these walls, can we count these walls as if they just keep going, even though they don't really? Can we play one of those imaginary games? Is there a halachic mechanism to say that as long as you have 10 tefach walls over here, we view them as if they continue to go straight up? Yes, the walls that are below me. I'm here. See? So the walls are below. So is that allowed? So says the Gemara. I'm glad you asked. So says the Gemara. Ha'isa gavoa me'asrim amah. U'bana ba'amud shu gavoa asar tefachim. You build a platform that's 10 tefachim high. V'yesh bo hechsher sukkah. And I should have brought blocks in. And it has enough of an area. That platform that I build is hechsher sukkah. What does hechsher sukkah mean? It's a minimum of 7 by 7 tefachim. 7 by 7 tefachim width and length. Meaning 7 tefachim here, 7 tefachim there, not drawn to scale, right? So if it's 7 by 7 tefachim on the top. So it's livable, area, it's big enough for a sukkah. Where am I? The direction of sukkah. Savra Abaye Lememer, so Abaye thought to say, what does Savra Abaye Lememer always mean? It's a havamina, good asik mechitzta. That we view it as if the mechitza, so you could have circled that phrase also, good asik mechitza. We view it as if the mechitza imaginarily runs straight up to the schach. That as long as it starts beneath me and it has 10 full tefachim beneath me, we view it as if it goes straight up to the schach, and therefore, when I am here on top of the sukkah, I am surrounded by these imaginary walls that go all the way up to the schach, and I'm in a perfectly kosher sukkah. So that's what Abaye thought to say, but then they told Abaye, no, you can't say that. Amalei Rava said to Abaye, Be'inon mechitzos hanikaros. Important concept. Mechitzos hanikaros. What do you think that means? Good. You need recognizable walls. When you're lying on that on that platform, you don't even see walls. They're beneath you. You need walls that are at least recognizable, vileka, and you don't have that. And therefore, it's no good. Period. Main point number one, Davdal and Beis, Machlokas Abaye and Rava, if you need Mechitos Hanikaros or not. Do your walls need to be Mechitos Hanikaros? Do they need to be recognizable walls? Now, obviously, this is a classic example of if you just look at the main point before Bechina, but you never learned this Gemara, you're going to have no clue what that's talking about. Right? You need to obviously have learned this Gemara to know what Mechitos Hanikaros means, what the example of it is. Effie. The what? Oh no, but just like Dofen Akuma is an imaginary halachic mechanism, there is a real concept in halacha, in Hilchos Erevin and in Hilchos Sukkah, called Gur Asik Mechitza. So this concept does work, just not here because you have nothing. Yeah. Yeah. God could do the coolest things. Yes. Good asking means if you have the beginning of a mechitza, as long as it's 10 tefachim, you have the beginnings of a mechitza, we consider it, even though it stops at a point, we consider it as if it keeps going straight up. That's good asking mechitza. There's another concept called good achitz mechitza, which is going to mean that if you have the top of a mechitza, we consider it as if it goes straight down. We can have that halacha too. Yeah. Oh, okay, good. What is mechitza nikaros? It's a good question. I'm not sure. Let's go weiter. I just want to make sure we finish what we're supposed to finish. Oh, this case, you didn't get this case? Okay. Assume this whole room is a sukkah, right? It's way too high, though. Good? So I build that bima in the middle of the room. And I'm going to sit on that bima. It's 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. It happens to actually be, right? That shulchan in the middle of the room, 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. So I'm going to sit on that shulchan. Now, when I'm sitting on that shulchan, I don't see any walls within 4 amos of me. All the walls are way more than 4 amos away from me, right? But the walls of the actual shulchan are walls, meaning from the ground until where I'm sitting is 10 tefachim of walls on all four sides, right? As such, you see, right? It's four. So Abaye thought, good. So view those walls, no pun intended, good asik mechitzta, view those walls as if they go all the way up until the, really, not intended, as if they go all the way up until the schach, and then when you're sitting on top of that bima, it's as if you're surrounded by four walls. Rava said, no, because if you're sitting on that bima, how many of those walls do you see? Zero. You see nothing. They're all beneath you. That's no good. Is that a little clearer? Way up. The whole room is covered with schach, let's say, right? Okay, says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, we have a brisa. Na'atz arba kundisin, v'sichech al gabal. Let's say you stick four poles in the ground. Four corners, you stick four poles in the ground. You don't have walls, just poles. And you put schach over the poles. Rabbi Yaakov machshir v'chacham postlin. Rabbi Yaakov says, yeah, that's kosher. Unbelievable. No, it ruins the Dvar Torah. Every kid comes home with sukkah is the amount of kosher walls in a sukkah. The samach is four, the chaf is the three, and the hay is two, and a little bit. Rabbi Yaakov says, zero walls is also good, as long as you have four poles. Unbelievable. Changes everything we've ever heard of anything we know about a sukkah. Four poles, yeah, good enough. Chacham say, no, that's not good enough. We learned in kindergarten, you need at least 2.5 walls. Amar Rav Huna, so Rav Huna says, machlokas al sfas hagag. Ah, so what's the case over here? So one second. What's the case over here? With these kundisin, you put these four poles, not just stam middle of nowhere, on a rooftop. You put down the four poles because again, where are they building their sukkah? Is usually on a rooftop. So you go to the four corners of the roof, put down the poles, and put schach over it. That's where Rabbi Yaakov says that it's kosher, and the Chum say it's pasul. So says Rav Huna, the whole machlok is as if those four poles are at the very corners of the roof. Why is it going to be kosher? Does Rabbi Yaakov really hold you need no walls? Good, the walls of the building itself are the walls, and we view them imaginarily as if they continue up. So when your sukkah is right on the edge of the roof, where the four poles are on the edges, on the four edges of the roof, so that's where the Rabbi Yaakov saw. Rabbi Yaakov is going to say, Amrinon, good asik mechitzta. We're going to say, view the walls as if they continue straight up. Rabbanan Savri and Rabbanan say, lo Amrinon, good asik mechitzta. We don't say good asik mechitzta. We don't hold that concept over here. Aval be'emtza gag, but let's say you just put the four poles right in the middle of the roof. Far away from the edges, far away from the side, from the walls of the building. Just stand in the middle of a roof. What's everyone going to say? Puzzle, because you can't say Gurasik. Gurasik won't help you. You're building your sukkah far away from all the sides of the building. So Divrei HaKol, then everyone's going to say it's puzzle. That is the opinion of Rav Huna the Amora. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman the Amora says, no, Be'emtza HaGag Machlokas. The Machlokas is when you build it in the middle of the roof. Rabbi Yaakov is even going to say kosher when you build it in the middle of the roof, meaning it's got no walls. Still, he's going to say kosher. So, Ibayilahu, what did Rabbi Nachman mean when he said that the machlokas is when it's in the middle of the roof? Be'emtza hagag machlokas, aval al sfas hagag divrei kol kshera? Did he mean to say that if it's in the middle of the roof, that's where the chachavim are going to say pasul? But if it were on the edges of the roof, if the four poles were on the edges of the roof, everyone would agree that what? That it's kosher. Why? Why would it be kosher if it's on the edges of the roof? Good asik mechitzta. Is that what he meant to say? Odilma bein bezu machlokas. Or maybe what Rav Nachman meant to say is that this machlokas tanaim between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim is both if it's built in middle of the roof, and if it's built on the along the edges of the roof. The machlokas is going to apply in either case. Says Gemara, teku, we're not sure. We don't know what Rav Nachman meant exactly. It's an unusual teku. It's not a question of halacha. It's a question of what the Amora meant in explaining the machlokas tanaim. Main point number two. There was a machlokas amongst the Amoraim. If the machlokas amongst the tanaim about the four poles... No, what was the machlokas amongst the Amoraim? Machlokas amongst the Amoraim, if the machlokas amongst the Tanaim about the four poles applies only where? On the corners of the roof, on the edges of the roof, or even in the middle of the roof. And the Gemara is not sure if the Amoraim disagree whether the machlokas Tanaim applies to the end of the roof also. Okay, but if you got that, you got that. If you didn't, you did. Meaning, when we say even the middle of the roof, we're not sure if when Rav Nachman said the middle of the roof, he meant the machlokas is also in the middle of the roof or only in the middle of the roof. We're not sure about that. We're not sure what Rav Nachman meant. Fine. Meisvei, asik marakasha. Na'atz dalet kundesin ba'aretz. Let's say you stuck four poles, not on the roof, but ba'aretz, in the ground. V'sichei chalgaban, and you put tzchach on top of it. Guess what? Even there, Rabbi Yaakov Machshir v'chom postlet. Rabbi Yaakov says it's kosher. How many walls do you have if you stick four poles in the ground and put tzchach on? Zero. That is like which of the cases on the rooftop? On the edge or in the middle? That's exactly like the middle. What do you see? That this machlokas applies even in the middle of a roof when there are no walls. Because you see it's on the ground that the machlokas applies, where there are no walls. So frek the Gemara, exactly that point. V'ha'eretz tekeem tzagag dami. On the ground is like the middle of the roof. V'kamachshir Rabbi Yaakov. And you see Rabbi Yaakov still says it's kosher. Tiyufta d'Ravuna tiyufta. Checkmate. Right, Ravuna's done. Ravuna thought that when it's in the middle of the roof, no one's going to say it's kosher because there are no walls. But on the ground, there are no walls either. And Rabbi Yaakov still says kosher. Rabbi Yaakov just has this wild shita that you don't need walls in your sukkah. You don't need proper walls. We'll see what he holds. Vote, and furthermore, be'emtzuhu depligi aval al-sfas hagag divrei kol kshera, Rav Huna also wanted to teach us that they argue about the middle of the roof, but on the edge of the roof, everyone would say it's kosher. Va'od, and furthermore, this braisa just taught us, where's there a machlokas if you stick four poles where? In the ground, or in the middle of the roof. Which implies that had you stuck the four poles where? On the edge of the roof, everyone would hold kosher. Rav Huna thought the machlokas was when you stick the four poles on the edge of the roof. So Rav Huna's wrong about that. Meaning Rav Huna said two things. Now when it's on the edge of the roof, there's a machlokas tanaim. When it's in the middle of the roof, everyone holds kosher. Everyone holds pasul, rather. We already proved the second statement wrong. That when it's in the middle of the roof, not everybody holds anything. It's a machlokas. Now we're proving the first half of a sentence wrong. that when it's on the edge of a roof, it's machlokas. We're saying no. When it's on the edge of the roof, what's the halacha? Everyone holds? Everyone holds what? Kosher, right, exactly. Vod be'emzagag with the pligi. This whole machlok is only in the middle of the roof. Aval al svasagag, the vehicle ksheira. Everyone say on the edge of the roof it's kosher. Lema tavi tiyufta de Ravuna betarti. So isn't it a double tiyufta on Ravuna? We really got him. Samalacha Ravuna. Ravuna would say no. Pligi be'emzagag, vuadin al svasagag. The truth is, the machlokas applies to both the middle of the roof and the edge of the roof. Meaning, you're right. You got me on the case of the middle of the roof. I was wrong about that one. There is a machlokas about the middle of the roof. But you didn't get me on the case of the edge of the roof. I still maintain that the machlokas applies to the edge of the roof also. Why does the Brisa set up a case where they stick four poles in the ground, which is a middle of the roof kind of case? Why doesn't it set up a case where they stick the four poles where? By the edge of the roof. The reason they express the machlokas in the middle of the roof, to tell you just how strong and serious Rabbi Yaakov is about his shita, that he's going to say it's kosher even in the middle of the roof. Main point number three, even if the machlokas tanaim does apply to the end of the roof, we express it in a case of the middle of the roof. Why? To emphasize whose shita? Anybody? To emphasize? Rabbi Yaakov. And how makel Rabbi Yaakov is. Tanu Rabbanan, just a few more lines. I want to get to the two dots. Tanu Rabbanan. Notz arba'u kundesin baretz v'sichei chalgaban. You stick four poles in the ground and you throw schach on top of them. Rabbi Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Yaakov says, Rowin kol she'il. Now, kundesin are round poles. They're not squares. They're round poles. So Rabbi Yaakov says as follows. Rowin kol she'ilu yichakaku v'yechluku v'yeshban tefach l'kan v'tefach l'kan nidonin mishum diyomed. What that means is as follows. If you were able to cut into those round poles and carve them out in a way where they would make an L, where each side of the L would have at least one tefach of space in all four corners, it's kosher. That's enough of a wall. You have four L's in the four corners, as long as it's a tefach on each side of the L, that would be kosher. So even if it's a round pole, you have to just measure it and see, could you carve out an L that's one tefach in each direction. V'imlav, if it's not big enough to carve out such an L, ein nidon mishum diyomed, it doesn't count as diyomed, which is an L-shaped enclosure. Shahaya Rabbi Yaakov Omer, because Rabbi Yaakov holds diyom de sukkah tefach, that if you want a diyomed, which is these L-shaped corners on your sukkah to work, they need to be at least how big? One tefach. Diyom de sukkah tefach. V'chacham omrim, the Chacham say, Rabbi Yaakov, we don't know what you're talking about. We went to kindergarten, and in kindergarten they taught us that a sukkah, you can't have four L's in the corners. Didn't say that. It's nowhere in the Samuch, the Chaf, or the Hay. Anything about four L's. It's Samuch, Chaf, and Hay. All we know is a sukkah needs to have a minimum of two big walls and one little wall, and that makes it kosher, so stop with all that other business. Right? That's the Shita of the Chachamim, period. So that is Daf Dalet. Bez Hashem, next Wednesday night, Daf Hey. Shkayach, everybody, for coming. What's the what?